From Coral Springs High School in sunny Broward County, Florida, the name of this podcast is Pulled Up. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to Pulled Up, the podcast where we talk to Coral Springs High School teachers about the movies that pull them up so they can come in and pull up the students every darn day. I'm your host, Russell Aronson. I'm the Cambridge Coordinator and ACE Media Studies teacher, and I am here with Mr. John Place, who's working the boards, and he's behind the cameras. And we're here to present to you Pulled Up. Our guest for this episode is Ms. Felice Saberi. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. So glad to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
And absolutely. And so glad to have you to talk about how you got into the career, because it's different for everybody on the show, and to talk about what I think is a classic film. I completely agree with you. But before we get into that, we're going to begin by talking about how you got into teaching. And for that, let's roll all the way back to college.
Okay.
And before teaching.
Before teaching, I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was just graduating at 17, and I was extremely naive, and I really wanted to be an oceanographer, but I didn't understand how I can be an oceanographer in Pittsburgh without an ocean. Didn't think I could move. My mom was there. My dad was there. My grandparents were born there. I was born there, and he just stayed in Pittsburgh. So I always loved working with kids, and I used to teach my sister. I loved office supplies. I was like this weird little kid that would ask for pencils and stuff.
I always loved office supplies.
I did. I always loved office supplies.
You should have known even back then.
I did, you know. So I'm like, you know what? Teaching. That's what I'm doing.
And so you went to teaching college.
I went to a teaching college. It was at Edinburgh University. It was Edinburgh Teaching College until about 5 years before I started.
Okay.
And then it turned to all the little Western schools turned to colleges or universities.
All right.
About 5 years. But they were still considered teaching colleges.
Okay. And then how did you get from there to here?
Okay, so I went to school in Edinburgh University, which is right by Erie, Pennsylvania. It is on Lake Erie. And if anyone's ever been on getting like lakefront snow, it is awful. So Pittsburgh's in a valley. We would get cold, but we didn't get the snow. Any given day in Edinburgh, you'd get 6 feet, not 6 inches. 6 feet.
6 feet of snow.
6 feet of snow. So you trudged through that for 4 years. And then a lot of the southern schools, Georgia, Florida, they used to come up and recruit because they knew these were teaching colleges. So one day I went to a job fair. I walked in and there was a sign that said, teach at the beach.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, 6 feet of snow or 6 feet of sand. Let's go sand.
And the nice thing about that is now, if any of your students are ever talking about how hard it is to get to school, you can literally talk about getting through 6 feet of snow.
Oh, the basketball courts were, the hoops were covered.
The hoops are covered with snow.
Yeah, so you don't see sun. You don't see sun in Erie from October till May or June.
Oof.
It is cold. It is cold.
And so you saw Teach by the Beach, and you're like...
Teach by the Beach. I was like, wow, I could move. Maybe I'll go back to school and work with dolphins. But no, I came down, I went, yeah. So I was like, Teach at the Beach. So I'm like, let me try it.
So you came down here, and tell me about how you started in teaching.
I started in middle school.
All right.
So I went to the job fair. So I actually signed the contract to teach in Broward County in Erie. And then you had to come down here for another job fair. And I walked in, and Coral Springs at the time was just growing. It, like, there was nothing, north of Wiles Road, except cows.
Yeah.
So there was cows there, and it seemed like a growing city. I came and I toured a lot of the schools, and I got offered a job at Coral Springs Middle. And I said, all right, it's a nice place, a growing city. Let me just start there.
Yeah, it was so small, and it was
small.
There was not a heck of a lot there.
No, there used to be a lot of horses and stuff, and the kids that would come to Coral Springs Middle, their parents would drop them off by horseback.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'd stand out in bus duty and help the kids off the horses.
I think we should bring that back, don't you?
I do, because I would love that.
Yeah, maybe there should be an express lane for if you come in with a horse.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing.
We should start that.
Those homes weren't there. There's, and you would know when a new development was, because there was like six cows. And as the cows moved down the road, there was a new housing development.
I know. I wasn't too much after that. And I was in Coconut Creek, and I went to Coconut Creek High. And then just right down the street, it was a You Pick'em farm.
Yep.
You know, and it was like, okay, you had a gas station, the high school, and you pick strawberries.
Yep.
Which is pretty crazy.
So I was like, that's a nice place to start.
So you're in middle school and then you go to high school. Why'd you make the transition?
Well, I really wanted high school to begin with, but there weren't a lot of high school openings.
Right.
So, but it really, middle school is a good place to start, especially when you're 21.
Yeah.
So I was 21 and I thought, well, you know, the kids will be younger than me. And so I stayed there about 8 or 9 years and then I ventured on up.
And that was here at Coral Springs High.
That was here. And I've been here a long time.
And define a long time?
25 years.
25 years here?
Maybe 26. I keep losing count.
And so, so you've been here for 25 years. What do you like about the school that keeps you here?
I just find it like a family atmosphere. I love the kids. I like all the teachers. I feel comfortable. I'm not big on change, obviously. I just feel like this is my home.
Yeah.
So I just feel real comfortable.
When I got here 10 years ago, I was pretty blown away by that family atmosphere thing, too. I felt that very quickly.
Yeah. I live here. I work here. So I don't venture far.
It's a good advertisement for
it. Yeah. I really enjoy it. So.
So you made the transition here into teaching, into really working with the seniors, trying to get them across the finish line and get them into college. So tell me about how things work for you right now and what you see as your like primary mission at the school right now.
I think I have two missions. So one mission is to help the seniors make sure they have all their reading requirements. So if they're missing anything, we really work on test-taking prep and work on getting them their reading requirement so that they can get their diploma as they walk across the stage. And the other one is my dual enrollment. So the kids that are planning on going to college, it's actually a dual enrollment class. They can get 3 credits, college credits. So they get 1 elective free. They don't have to take while in college. And it's a really good class. It's all about surviving college. It's like, how do I pick my classes? What would dorm life be? What is the difference between a private school and a public school? What's a Pell Grant? What's a loan? So we go over all those kind of things.
Which is just so vital to whether or not students succeed at the beginning. We teach them subjects and everything, but all of this information is so critical.
Yeah, they really don't understand the difference between like loans and grants, and you can get yourself in a lot of financial problems if you don't really understand it. So this is a good class to help you start college on an A.
Start college on an A. Yeah. And that's so important. Then you're not only building your high school transcript, you're building your college transcript. And as you say, you're starting that with an A.
With an A.
So you're going to go into college with a 4.0.
Yep. I have an assignment. We learn time management and we learn about what is a syllabus and how to, all your assignments should be listed in syllabus. Oh, I have a paper. I'm not a great writer. Let me go to the writing lab, you know. So how to kind of problem solve before the problem happens.
And so you're bringing something I think that's really important and really interesting to school with that. What's been your best experience? And that's called the TIER program?
No.
No, the other.
That is my dual enrollment class.
That's your dual enrollment.
My dual enrollment class. Okay. College Success.
College Success. So what's been your best experience with college, the College Success program? Can you talk about like a specific moment, experience?
Okay, so this is kind of cool. I had a student two or three years ago in the class, and he wasn't sure. He was like, you know, I don't know if this is my route. And I'm like, well, let's just take the class and see how you do. He did really well, and he thought, you know, he'd do well. So he said he'd try BC. And so I think it was last year, the year before, my daughter was going to take, as a transient student, you're allowed to take classes at BC for the summer, and then it would transfer back to her college.
Right.
So we went over to sign her up, and he was working there.
Oh, my gosh.
He was working there. So he helped me, like, sign her up and get her credits. He knew, like, all the BC. Like, he worked in the office. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. You can just see not only that they found that confidence, but if as we know, if you can convey that to other people.
Yeah.
That's how you know you got it.
So I was like, because I went in just, like, even though I do the college class, but the actual, like, enrolling and doing the paperwork, and I didn't know about like Florida Shines and all this stuff you had to do for transient.
Yeah.
So he was like a whiz. I was like, wow. And said, college is for you.
That's really cool. So I mean, we're past course cards, but we definitely want to make sure everybody knows about it.
Yes.
So once again, on the course card, it's called,
I believe it's called College Success.
College Success.
Yeah, under dual enrollment.
Under dual enrollment. All right. And this isn't some hyper advanced class that's only available to a certain group of kids.
Yeah.
This is a widely available course.
It is. It's senior can take it if they're interested, and it saves you money, and it's good all around.
You got to like saving the money.
Gotta love. Yes. As a mom paying for college. You gotta love saving some money.
Yeah. In Cambridge, I'm always talking about OPM.
Oh,
other
yeah.
people's money.
Yes.
Anytime you can get somebody else to pay for your education.
Yes. My daughter did the Cambridge, as you know, and I love the Bright Futures.
Yeah. That's tasty.
It is. It helps. Because college
tasty.
Is expensive. The more you get, there's still more needed.
Yeah. There's never enough.
Never enough. So the more you can get Cambridge, those 7 credits and a dual enrollment here and there, you're good to go.
That sounds great. Well, that I think that pretty much wraps up the first segment, and that's pretty cool. So when we come back, we get to talk about when I asked you, you know, what's your film, and you told me, I was like, now that is a Felice choice. So we're going to take a little break. When we get back, we're going to talk about a film you've probably heard of, probably seen, but worth talking about and seeing again, called Elf. So grab a break. We'll be right back in just a sec. Welcome back, and we're here for our second segment where we talk about the movie that pulls you up. And as I was rewatching Elf, there was a quote in there that I was like, yes, this is exactly a Felice film. And the quote was, there's room for everyone on the nice list.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought that pretty much went over center plate for you.
Yeah.
I always begin by geeking out a little bit because the media studies guy in me, I have to say that. So Elf is a 2003 film. It's directed by Jon Favreau, who has an acting career and a directing career. Famous for films you may have heard of, like Iron Man. TV shows you may have heard of, like The Mandalorian. And he also did the Lion King live action reboot. He made a cool film called Chef. Which is a lot of fun. It's kind of a rom-com. It's really cute.
It's on Netflix now, I believe.
I think it is on Netflix.
It is.
And you probably want to check that out. It's a fun little film.
Yeah.
remake of a French film, but I like both of them, actually. They're both pretty good. And really, the other thing is the cast of this movie.
Perfect.
It's just perfectly cast, and the names, and a lot of these names don't mean anything to the students here because they've been around for a while, but they are amazing actors. So obviously, we'll talk about Will Ferrell in a minute, but we have James Caan, who plays Will Ferrell's dad. My father's favorite actor was James Caan. He always like wanted to be James Caan. One of the coolest guys ever in Hollywood. Just so smooth, whether you're talking about The Godfather or whatever. I could go on and on. There's a film called Thief, directed by Michael Mann, that he's in. Check that out. Anyway, Mary Steenburgen, who plays the wife, she's won an Academy Award or two. Another of my favorites, Bob Newhart, because I grew up watching reruns of the Bob Newhart show. Still think it's one of the funniest shows ever. Zooey Deschanel, Ed Asner, who you guys might know from the film Up.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yep.
That's Spunk. I hate Spunk.
And just so many other actors in there. So why did you choose Elf?
I love it. I love Elf. If I'm having a stress, Christmas to me is just the before, you know, with working, it's usually like we worked up to the 22nd.
Yeah, it was right
close.
Up there.
And I had my entire family coming in and we were taking a trip, and it's just always kind of like that. I have to figure out how, you know, there's just a billion things going on. And sometimes I don't want to think.
Yeah.
I just don't want to think. I need my brain to take a break and just relax and laugh and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's such a kind film, but not sappy. And,
no.
You know, it has so many great moments, so many great lines. When did you first see Elf? Do you remember?
Okay, so 2003 is when my daughter was born, so I was probably going through a lot of stress then also.
Okay, well, that situates it very
well. So I probably saw it the first year, I would say. And so, every year since.
So that's like one of those Christmas films you always put on.
Always, always. I mean, it usually runs. You can catch it on. And it's one of those films that even if it's in the middle, where it is, you sit down.
And you stop what you're doing,
and you'll just watch it.
Is there a certain part of it that, like, you remember most fondly, a scene, a moment?
I like the end because the whole time you're just rooting for him, and he's trying to tell like he's an elf and Santa and it's real, and everyone's kind of like not believing him. And I just like it at the end when you get to see New York and everybody's happy and everyone realizes that he is who he is, that he's not, you know, crazy, that there is a Santa Claus. And I don't know, just makes everyone seem happy.
And that literally is like what saves the film at the end.
Yeah.
Is that everyone believes.
Everyone believes. You have to believe.
Yeah, because, you know, Santa's got this big rocket on the sled that he created because people weren't believing anymore.
Yeah, so you have to believe. You have to have the spirit. And it's one of those things that, like you said, it's a busy time of year and you get stressed out. But when you sit down and you watch it, you realize what's really important.
Yeah.
It's just being nice and believing and enjoying the spirit and getting along.
And I like the idea of, I love a film that for whatever reason causes you to stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
And whether it's a first viewing or one of those that just comes on and you're like, okay, and then you just kind of dial right into it. There's something really special about that. And then especially during the holidays when we are so busy and we're tempted to believe we don't have time to do this or that. And reminds you to kind of slow down.
And it doesn't matter how many times. So other films I watch like once, and then I'm not a big re-watcher of films.
Okay.
Especially if it's something like, you know, the ending and it's like a shock. And once the shock is gone, you're like, But I never get tired of this film.
Yeah.
Even though you start saying it word for word, or this is when this happens, and this, you know, where's the maple syrup or whatever, you know, like. So it just, you just don't get tired of it.
And in those scenes, he's actually eating maple syrup on the spaghetti.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying. But, you know, you suffer for your craft.
Yeah.
And then this is peak Will Ferrell. This is.
Yeah, I can't imagine who else could possibly. Maybe Tom Hanks when he was younger.
Yeah.
There's not many people that could pull it off.
And I guess this script bounced around Hollywood for years. And so they just kept recasting and recasting. But it was a lot darker at first.
Oh.
Apparently. It was kind of depressing, actually. And then when Favreau got it, he's like, how about we make it happy? And apparently that was a good move.
Yeah, that was a good move.
And then I love those scenes of Will Ferrell just out in New York City that aren't scripted at all, where he's just interacting with real New Yorkers.
Yeah.
But then again, something when we were kind of talking about this before we recorded is New York during Christmas.
Oh, yeah. The best.
So what do you like the most about New York during Christmas?
I like the traditions. I love like seeing the tree, Rockefeller Center. I love the ice skating, even though I can't ice skate. I could ski, but I could never ice skate. I don't understand why, but I couldn't do it. But I'd still put my skates on and I still try it. I love and New York is just like free ice skating, but $35 for the skates. I love how they do that. You can skate for free, but if you need skates, it's $35. I just think it's hilarious.
That is so New York.
So New York.
Everything's free unless you pay a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah, if you pay a lot of money.
And the windows. I love the window shop. The windows, like, dressed and it's just perfect.
Yeah, the window decorations in New York City, such an important tradition. And when we were talking about this, I was talking about snow in Central Park.
Oh, yeah.
It's just.
And the Rockettes. I've probably seen the Christmas Spectacular 5 times.
I saw it for the first time ever this past summer, even though I was born in New York. I partially grew up in New York. I mean, if my parents took me to Rockettes, I don't remember it. I doubt they did. So I went for the very first time this winter. And the Rockettes part of it is really amazing, but now they have this other stuff that's kind of weird. Like they have drones.
In this Christmas Spectacular?
Yeah. They have these drone snow angels.
Nope.
That fly around and they tell you beforehand, if a snow angel falls on you, please be very careful with it. They're very fragile. And I'm like, what are we talking about?
Okay, so that must be new within the last 4 years. I think we were in New York 4 years ago.
Okay.
So that was still the old.
Did they have the 3D movie with the 3D glasses? You see?
No.
And I'm
it
watching.
Was all Rockettes, and then at the very end, they pushed Santa out on the sleigh.
Really?
Yeah.
Now there's this like whole story, and Santa comes out, and they have these. I guess they think that if you're younger, you need this interactive stuff.
Oh.
But the funny thing is, none of that works at all. But the Rockettes stuff. Still amazing.
Okay, so the last one I've seen it like 5 times. I saw once here at Broward, and the new AI stuff was not there. It was all Rockettes. All Rockettes with like little mini scenes.
And now that I think about it, the tickets actually were very reasonable.
Yeah.
But the refreshments in, it's just like the ice skating and the skates. It's like the tickets. I was like, wow, the Rockettes, this is pretty cheap. And it's a beautiful theater.
Beautiful and huge.
It's huge. It's enormous. And I like the way they have updated it and renovated it, but not changed the decor or the style. And it still has that old Radio City style. But you will pay $25 for popcorn.
Well, we do Dwayne Reed.
Dwayne Reed.
We do Dwayne Reed candy before you go in.
So for those of you who don't know, if you've only been in South Florida, that would like be saying Walgreens. Or CVS. Yeah.
You go to Dwayne Reed, you get the $1 snow caps, and you're good to go.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
That's how I did candy at the movies as a kid, you know?
Still do.
That big pot. Right, exactly.
Still do.
Walk in with those pockets full and...
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah. We got that. I got a movie purse.
A movie purse? Still now you have a movie purse?
Oh, yeah, still now.
Oh, man.
And everyone knows, like my daughter and all her friends know it. So if they go to the movies without me or whatever, they say, can we borrow the movie purse?
Can we borrow the movie purse?
It holds like all your candy, your drinks. It's perfect.
What's your like favorite go-to film movie candy?
Snow caps.
Mine too.
Snow caps. I have to have snow caps.
I love snow caps.
Love the snow caps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So then next year when I watch Elf, I'm cracking open a box of snow caps.
Oh yeah, you gotta have the snow caps.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
I think it's a plan.
Yeah.
I think we've got that all covered, and so Elf, and if you've never watched it all the way through and it's been on the background, do yourself a favor, sit down and just kind of let yourself get into it and just watch it all the way through. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to say. So Elf is kind of like a Scrooge story.
Right.
Right? And you told me that you have been incorporating Scrooge story Christmas Carol into your lessons.
Right.
Can you tell us a little about that?
So we did the play version.
Okay.
The Reader's Theater version in class. And it was the kids, you know, we did like a lot of background knowledge first and then we read it. And then we talked about like the theme, and the theme is be nice. Be nice, you know, money's not going to buy you happiness. Here he was, the wealthiest man, and the people around him were trying to invite him and family, and then he didn't take advantage until it was, you know, almost too late. And then he learned, you know, be nice. Get that big turkey. Get that goose.
Be nice. Get that big turkey. Get that big goose.
Yep.
I think we have found, as English teachers, the main idea.
It is.
Of the conversation.
Share the goose.
Don't overcomplicate it.
Nope.
Share the goose.
Share the goose.
Well, I don't think we can add anything to this conversation of Elf. I think we've put a pin in it. I think we bow tied that.
All right.
That's great. So we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you questions from your own students.
Okay.
Which is always fun. So hang with us. We'll be back in just a second for our final segment. Don't go away.
Did you hear that?
You are so weird.
And we're back with our final segment of Pulled Up, where we're going to ask Miss Saberi questions from her own students. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, they're coming anyway, so that's good. Michaelia has a question for you.
All righty.
All right. If you weren't a teacher, what would you be doing right now for a career?
Well, as I told you, I would hope I would have figured out I could leave Pittsburgh. And possibly working, or maybe I'd be in a rural Ohio working at SeaWorld.
There you go.
Or, I would like to have been either, you know, if it didn't work out, an oceanographer.
Okay.
So.
Why oceanographer?
Love the dolphins.
Love the dolphins.
Love the dolphins. And that one turtle with the little straw that you see, the same turtle with the straw sticking out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always like, save the turtle.
Save the turtle. Save the turtle indeed.
I mean, you're taking pictures. Save that turtle. So maybe something in like that environment. I like the environment. I like, you know, a little bit of a tree hugger. So
when was the last time you saw dolphins?
My nephew lives over at Fort Myers. So we went over like 2 weekends ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're just there.
Yeah.
So
that's
just
wonderful.
Yeah, they're just there. So we sit and watch them and stuff.
Pretty good deal there.
Yeah.
And the turtle with the straw. That's fantastic. So there you go, Michaelia. Let's see. Carlise.
Okay.
Has a question for you. And clearly this is something you talked about. How long did you do swimming in high school?
3 years because you had to get the Letterman's jacket.
That's right, Letterman's jacket.
You had to, yeah, you had to do varsity. Well, swimming didn't really, in my school, didn't have junior varsity. It was all varsity. You were on swimming. So
okay.
If you did the 2 years, there wasn't enough to, like, break it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if you did at least 2 years, so I did it the 3 years, and so I can get my Letterman's jacket.
I loved the Letterman's jacket.
Perfect. Perfect jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Even though I got my Letterman's jacket by, in wrestling, by just being able to make weight, you know? So my coach would come in and say, "Hey, Ross," because he had this voice, and be like, "Hey, Ross, there's nobody for 108 next week." Be like, "Okay, coach, don't do that, kids. It's very bad for your health to drop weight rapidly over and over again. See Coach Jacobs. He'll help you do it the right way and the healthy way. Don't do it the way I did." But I did get a Letterman's jacket. And if anybody showed up on the other side, I lost immediately. Usually because A, I sucked at it, and B, I hadn't eaten for a week in order to make weight.
There you go.
So I would stumble out on the mat and collapse.
And hope no one showed up.
And hope no one showed up, which was apparently always the whole point from the scouting report. But it didn't always work out that way. Sometimes you'd be told no one would show up, and then somebody would show up, and you'd be like, uh-oh. At least it didn't last long.
There you go. Pinned, you're out.
That's it. There you go. Okay, we got one more question from Jonathan.
Okay.
Jonathan Joseph. What is your swimming record?
I did freestyle 50. The 50 in like 25 seconds or so. 26.
Wow, nice.
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. I was kind of like, and we did the relay, and I was kind of like the middle.
Okay.
I wasn't the lead. I wasn't the pull-up. I was in the middle. So I was a good swimmer for non-swimmers, but not a great swimmer for my high school.
Okay.
Because we had some pretty good swimmers.
And obviously, you still like swimming today.
Love swimming. Love swimming.
What do you like about swimming?
I don't like to sweat.
Okay.
So you don't sweat. I hate sweat.
I don't blame you there.
No.
You really picked the wrong place to live for that.
Yeah. Well.
The right place for swimming, the wrong place for the sweat. But
yeah. Yeah. So, well, but we do spend a lot of time at the pool. Or
there you go.
Because I don't like the sweat. Get in the water.
Get in the water. There you go. Share the goose. Get in the water.
Yeah.
Life lessons here.
There you go. Share the goose. Get in the water. Don't sweat.
Be nice.
Be nice.
And be nice.
And don't sweat it.
And don't sweat it. There you go.
Yep.
I love it. Before we go, do you have anything you want to promote? Something going on in life, in class, anything?
I think I already promoted the dual enrollment. So
yeah.
I'm just going to stick it out there again that it's a really good class.
It's such a great opportunity.
It's a good opportunity for everybody. You know, you get your free credits, the 3 credits. You don't have to take a class during college, because if you go to BC, that's one of the classes you're going to take your first semester.
Yeah.
You'll go in with the knowledge of how to be successful. So it's a good class to do.
And even though you've already turned in your card, if you change your mind, go see Guidance.
Go see Belliard.
Go see Belliard, and he'll get you set up.
Well,
this has been Pulled Up, a co-production of the Coral Springs High School ACE Media Studies program and the Coral Springs High School TV production program. My first most special thanks are to Mr. Place, who is making all of this work behind the scenes. Could not do it without you. I want to give a special thanks to Dr. King, who helped me kind of develop this and pull it all together. Sage advice and wisdom, definitely, from Dr. King. I want to thank retired principal Vivian Suarez for giving us the green light to do this the first time, and new principal Mr. Dwayne Dixon for green lighting it a second time. So I think that means that we've got something good here. The podcast logo was designed by ACE Media Studies students Vanessa Ramshaw and Brendan Kenny. And of course, I want to thank the faculty, staff, and administration of Coral Springs High School for coming in and pulling up our students every darn day. Thank you, Ms. Berry, for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Had a great time. Until next time, thanks for listening. And remember, no matter where you go, there you are. Bye-bye.